This week's Parsha, Parshas Vayigash, is the story of the reunification of Yosef and his brothers. So it says that when Yosef reveals himself to his brothers, so he says, Vayevkal Tzavarei Binyamin, Ubinyamin Bachal Tzavarav. Yosef wept on Binyamin's necks, plural, and Binyamin wept on his neck. And so Rashi brings the obvious question that there is in Chazal: how many necks does Binyamin have? So he says, no, it's alluding to the destruction of the temple, that they're mourning, they're pre-mourning the destruction of the temple. So in Binyamin's portion in Eretz Yisrael were built two temples, which were destroyed. So those are the necks of Binyamin that Yosef is crying over. And Binyamin cries on his neck, that refers to the Mishkan that was in Shiloh that was also destroyed. So the obvious question is, why now? Why at the time, the reunification of the brothers, at the time to cry over the calamity of the destruction of the Mishkan and of the Batei Mikdashos, a tragedy that hasn't happened yet? Why is now the time? And why is it alluded to in the next? Right. Another thing that interestingly has to do with next is that Yosef sent a sign to Yaakov Avinu. You know, it says Yaakov saw the chariots that Yosef sent, and Vatchi Ruach Yaakov Avim. And you know, in the chariots was a sign, because the last thing that Yosef learned with Yaakov before he was sold into slavery, the last thing he learned was the halachas of Egla Rufa. That's the halacha of if you find a abandoned corpse, right? So you don't know who killed it, or you know. So the closest town has to bring a Egla Rufa, and they break its neck. Of this, of this calf, to bring them in a area that is barren, that doesn't produce fruit. That just like this man was killed, before he had a chance to make his contribution. So also this calf, which never worked, was killed, and it's killed in a place which never produced fruit. Well, symbolizing a life cut short that was, didn't manage to be productive. Just like this calf wasn't managed to be productive, and just like the area that the calf is, its neck is broken, is in that area. And the Levium are there at the time where the neck is broken, and the elders of the town. So very interesting, that was the last thing, these halachs were the last thing Yaakov learnt with Yosef. And it's very interesting that the sign of the tribe of Yosef is the ox, the calf, the same family that the calf is from, right? So it's it's as it were the animal that represents that tribe, number one. Number two is again, it's the neck being broken, and so see this issue of the necks, crying over the neck, which is going to be the destruction of the temple, right? This was the last thing that Yaakov learned with Yosef before the forced separation that there was between them, as Yosef was sold into slavery. So to try to understand a little bit of this, and it's a lot deeper, also when Yaakov meets Yosef, so Yosef cries on Yaakov's neck. Over there, it's not talking about a destruction of the temple, but it just cries on Yaakov's neck. So to understand a little bit of the significance of the neck and Egla Rufa, and why here, why now, why it's all happening at this time. So there are three levels of activity. Activity that a human being could do. There's thought, there's speech, and then there's physical action that one does with one's limbs, right? Thought, speech, and action, physical activity. right? These are three types of activity the human being is capable of. Machshava, Dibur, Maisa. And interestingly enough, where they are in the human being, you know, actually is perfectly parallel to the concept that they represent, right? Thought is in the head. On the opposite extreme, you know, action is in the limbs, it's in the body. And speech is in the middle. It's in the, it finishes in the mouth, but it comes from the throat, right? It comes from the throat. You know, it's an in-between. It comes from the in-between area between thought and action. And that's also really, if you think about it, that's what speech is. Speech is really an intermediary between thought and action. Because, on the one hand, it's communicating thought, and that's what speech is. Now, it's not the language of pure thought, that we know, as I don't want to speak about this at this time, but the language of pure thought is, you know, beyond words. It's more akin to mathematics, right? Yeah, but it's, you know, but speech definitely expresses thought. But it puts thought, in, you know, it gives it a certain form, so as I could tell someone else what I want and he'll do it. So whether for myself, I have to put my thoughts into words so I could better myself turn my thoughts into a real workable plan of action. I have to reduce it to words, and when it's reduced to words, then it's a solid plan that I can act according to, or once I reduce it to words, I can instruct someone else and he'll do it. Right? So condensing thought to words, right, is a necessary intermediate phase for thought to go into action, be it for myself, be it to communicate it to others, for them to do it. Right? It's also in halacha that akima svasav havi maisa, that in the act of talking, the bending of the lips is already called an action. So you see that, you know, speech is an intermediary, you know, it starts with thought and finishes with action, that the bending of the lips, which finalizes the speech, excuse me, and halacha has the legal status of being an action. Right? And that's really in the way man is supposed to serve God, right? So we're supposed to serve God in all these three functions, with our thoughts, with our actions, right? And with our speech also. But the main power of man that's unique to man to serve God with is the power of speech. Even though we serve God with all our capacities, right? But the power of speech is considered to be what's special for man. Aside from the fact that, you know, philosophically, man's category of existence is a medaber, he's the speaking. The animals are alive, right? But they don't speak. What separates man from animals is speech. Right, it's called man's, you know, qualifying attribute. Right, as the Unkel says on the pasuk, and God blew into Adam a breath of life and became a living creature. Unkel says, living creature in ruach memalo, speaking spirit. You know, the power of speech is, you know, what's special to man. Man has the power of thought, but thought is sort of what's a little bit above man. Just like the head is on top, it's the highest part of man. It's not considered to be, you know, the medium of man, the medium, the middle of man, the medium of man, the medium, the part in the middle is also considered to be the strongest part, the strongest part. It's literally man's upper limit. So we have the power of thought also, and we have to serve God with that. But that's called to be a little bit beyond ourselves. It's not our forte. You know, it's a power that we have, but it's not our forte. We're not pure intellect, by far not, right? What's considered to be our forte is the power of speech. It's considered to be like the middle, you know, the center is always the strongest part. The strongest part of man is his power of speech, right? And most of our learning, our prayers for sure, are all speech, and most of our learning also is to say the words of the Torah and to infer from them and to explain the Torah to our Talmidim. It all involves words, so even the intellect involves putting it into words. The beauty of saying Chidushei Torah is to take these high ideas and put it into words. Putting it into words is man's job. You know, to put the thought of Torah into words, you know, it's top down. To reduce thought into words is called to learn Torah and to say Chidushei Torah and to speak to Hashem, as you know, going speech upwards. That's man's main power, to put the Torah into words and to communicate to God, with God in prayer. And you know, in the big cosmic picture, that's the Beis Hamikdash. Right? The Beis Hamikdash, is the bridge between the spiritual. You know, it's the gateway to heaven, as Jacobus says. V'zeh Shar Shmaim is the gateway to heaven. Right, so it's the gateway to the spiritual. You know, it actually be likened to the head, to the mind. That spiritual existence, the mind understands that there is such a thing, but it's beyond the senses. So compare the spiritual to the realm of the intellect, because only the intellect apprehends the existence of the spiritual, right? But it's also the gateway to, from there comes blessing to the whole of this world, right? All blessing for this world comes out of the Beis HaMikdash. And at the Beis HaMikdash itself is where we do the divine service, right? Now, of course, the divine service involves thought, speech, and action, but we know that in this day and age, where unfortunately we don't have a Beis HaMikdash anymore, what supplements for all the divine service that there used to be there? Prayer. The prayer of the mouth is what supplements for all the sacrifices that there were. There was prayer in the Beis HaMikdash also. There was Birkos Kohanim there, and there was a Sanhedrin that sat there in the Lishkas HaGozes on the Temple Mount, in that area. And all we have left is our Torah learning and our davening, right? The power of speech. That means that the Beis HaMikdash is cosmically the power of speech that bridges the spiritual, which could be likened to pure thought, and the physical, which is the earthly plane, right? And that's, as it were, the neck. And that's why the Beis HaMikdash is alluded to the neck. It's the cosmic neck. That what's on top of the neck is the spiritual, and what's on the bottom of the neck is the physical. And the Beis HaMikdash is the neck that connects the two and keeps a line of communication open between the two and cause there to be emanation to go from the top, bottom. Bring down the emanation, bring down the power of the, just like in the body, brings down the power of the brain to the body, right? So also, the Beis HaMikdash brought down the power of Ruchnius, of the spiritual dimensions to, the blessing, to the physical dimensions, and it's also from where the physical dimension offered up its service to Hashem, upwards. So that's why the Beis HaMikdash is the cosmic neck, right? And amongst the tribes of Israel, the one who's the neck is Yosef, right? That what his midah, the midah of the tzaddik, Yisod Olam, Yosef HaTzadik, who's the foundation of the world, is like the neck of the world, right? The Tzadik, keeps, he's the one who creates the portal between the heaven and earth, and that's what the Midah of Yisod is. The Kesher, right, the connection between heaven and earth is what the Tzadik does, and that's the mission of Yosef, as where Yosef is the neck of the Jewish people. Now, of course, V'amech Kulam Tzadikim, that's what, the tribe Yosef is per se. But of course, all the Jewish people are called tzaddikim. All the Jewish people are called noheg katzon Yosef, called like the sheep of Yosef. There's the power of a little bit of power of Yosef in everybody, and everybody has his contribution to make. And that's why there's this din of egla arufa, right? The ox, right, is the beast of burden that makes a contribution. Rov tzvus bekoach shor, right? The grain comes with the power of the ox. The ox is the harnessed work animal, the worker, right? And that's by no coincidence. That's the animal that represents the tribe of Yosef. They're the tzaddikim that do work, right? And of course, man's main work, is make his main contributions through his power of speech. When we find a Jew that didn't have a full life, we find a corpse on the roadside, and we don't know who's guilty of the murder. Just see the tragedy of a life cut short. Excuse me. So the kapar that has to be done is the avod of egla rufa. That so we take a calf that hasn't yet done anything with its life, just like this person didn't finish, and it's taken to an area which hasn't borne fruit. It's like this guy didn't make his country, didn't merit to finish making his contribution. His life was cut short. But by no coincidence, the neck is broken. The neck is broken. It's called the breaking of a neck. Because the main power of contribution is in the neck. That's where man is. That's where man is supposed to be, the neck of the world. Right? That man is supposed to bridge the upper realms with the lower realms, the spiritual with the physical, right? The olamas of machshava, the olamas of maisa, and that's what's missing when a Jew is not able to, you know, do his Torah learning and his davening because life was cut short. So called another neck was broken, right? Now, of course, doing this eglaruf is a tikkun, and somehow it's a tikkun, it's a kapara for this missing Jew. And that's why, by no coincidence, you know, the divine providence had it that Yaakov and Yosef were learning about eglaruf before Yosef was pushed out of the Jewish people temporarily. That was like, you know, Yosef was, you know, he was pushed out of the Jewish people as if he was eliminated from the Jewish people, like the brothers indeed faked his death. As if he was eliminated from Jewish people. So of course the loss of Egel Rufa is somewhat a tikkun for that, when a Jew is, you know, cut off, cut short, and not able to make his contribution. That's the avodah of Egel Rufa, is to supplement. A person didn't make berish, a person not able to make his contribution. Right? So, you know, the loss of Egel Rufa is a tikkun for that. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was magdim refuah l'maka, as far as I had, that they learned the loss of Egerufa before Yosef would be ejected temporarily from the Jewish people, as he would be temporarily missing, and his contribution would be missing. So Egerufa is a tikkun for that, and that's why, you know, the Hashgacha added that they were learning these halachas before Yosef was, you know, ejected from the Jewish people temporarily. This would be some type of, you know, countermeasure for the fact that Yosef's contribution would be missing from the Jewish people. So now, when the, you know, brothers reunite, they sense, right? They sense that the reunification is not going to be complete. And we know, the Nevi'im throughout history chastise us for the sin of selling Yosef. We know that the Asar Ruge Malchus, and during the time of the Second Temple, and thereafter, the 10 Tanoim, Rabbi Kiva and his friends, were killed. It was all a kapara for the Chet of Mechiras Yosef. The ejecting of Yosef from the Jewish people was a terrible sin that wasn't fully righted at the time. And they sensed that it wasn't fully set right. They sensed that the neck wasn't fully restored. And as a function of the neck not being fully restored, Yosef is the neck of the Jewish people. As a function of the neck not being fully restored, so they cried over the neck. The neck is not properly in place. And the neck, the national neck of the Jewish people, right, the national neck of the Jewish people is the Beis HaMikdash. The Sfas Chaim brings a pasuk, you know, in the pasuk, you know, in Shir HaShirim, so it talks about the tzavar, you know, the neck. It always refers to the Beis HaMikdash, right? The neck of the Jewish, you know, the national neck, you know, it symbolizes our national neck of the Jewish people is the Beis HaMikdash. Yosef is the neck, and the neck is not properly restored. That's why the Beis HaMikdash also won't last, and it's destined to be destroyed. The neck hasn't been fully restored yet. And not until the end of time, when there's the proper reunification between the tribes of Israel, will the Beis HaMikdash therefore stand permanently. But it's only at the end of time. Right? And that's what they sense, that the reunification, the neck has not been firmly, properly restored. Right? And that's what, and that's what is when Yosef meets Yaakov, he cries on Yaakov's neck. Yaakov represents the totality of the Jewish people, and Yosef is on his neck. Yosef is the neck of the Jewish people. And in Parshas Vayikra is the attempt to restore the neck. But since the neck, unfortunately, is not yet fully restored, that's why we have the continued calamities that come up in our history. That's why we have the Churban HaBayis that happened. Right? That it couldn't hold. The neck has not been fully reinstated yet until that great day that the Navi speaks about in this week's Haftarah, about the big reunification. Until that day, the neck is not fully restored, and that's why we need the parsha of Egla Arufa as a tikkun for all those times that the neck falls out of place. You know, and Jews are not fully united, that all the Jews together can make the contributions that they're meant to make. All right, Rosh Hashanah should help. You know, be mischazik and avos Yisrael. Good Shabbos.